Bishop Victoria has a story she often likes to share about some friends of hers, quite well-off people, who were coming up to a significant wedding anniversary milestone and have decided that it really was appropriate to make a bit of a fuss about it all and to set some resources aside for it. But the more they reflected on the way in which they should keep their wedding anniversary, the more they decided that it wouldn't be right to spend all that money on themselves. And so they decided to provide a very good meal and serve it personally to the residents of a night shelter that their parish church was connected to. Must have been quite a startling surprise for the gentlemen of the road to have this very high quality meal served. These people, I think, understood the meaning of today's gospel teaching by Jesus. And another illustrative story, this time from late 19th century Denmark. Perhaps you remember the film Babette's Feast, about a French refugee fleeing counter-revolutionary violence in Paris who takes shelter in a remote settlement in Jutland, where a charismatic Lutheran minister had started a gospel community around him. He's died, his daughters are running the community. Babette pleads to be taken into shelter, and so she becomes their cook over 14 years, serving the simple meals of the community and trying to make them as interesting as possible. The one fragment of her past life is she gets a friend to buy her a raffle ticket in Paris each year, and 14 years later she wins the prize, 10,000 francs, and brings some extraordinary foods into the local settlement and cooks the local community an amazing dinner using all the proceeds. During that deal, that meal, old enmities are forgiven, ancient loves are rekindled, and a mystical redemption of the human spirit settles over the table. The one kind of high-class guest at that meal says, "Oh, this is like a dinner I had at the Café Anglais in Paris," and it turns out that Babette was the chef there. And the two daughters who run the community are horrified to hear that Babette has blown all the dough on this one meal, to which she says, "I'm an artist, there'll always be a chance for me," and she's told by her hosts that there'll be a chance for you in heaven indeed to serve food for the angels. You know, Jesus of Nazareth could be a rude and intrusive guest at dinner parties. This morning's reading missed out the bit where he healed a man suffering from dropsy on the Sabbath and thus infuriated his hosts. But he didn't stop there, proceeding right along to lecture his host and the other guests on the subject of dinner etiquette. There are acerbic words also for those who'd been jockeying for the best places next to the coolest people. Meals meant a lot in the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. They're not just opportunities for inspiring table talk. They're powerful symbolic statements in a social system, keenly aware of the distinction between clean and unclean, who is in and who is out. Jesus enjoyed the company of the poor, the crippled, the lame, the outcast. He mixed them up at table with the respectable, the wealthy, and the righteously religious who lived within tight boundaries. He was and is making a point. He was seeking to reunite his divided people in a renewed covenant relationship. He wanted the children of Israel to be no longer divided by an unhelpful holiness code. Brought together in solidarity and unity, they would live in intimate relationship with God and thus be equipped to live through and beyond all their difficulties. The first followers of Jesus picked up on the priority of this open table fellowship and allowed it to revolutionize the internal dynamics of their house churches. They were hospitable to strangers, to visitors, and above all to one another. Such generous hosting of community meals were a welcome signal to newcomers and something of a recruiting strategy. And these communal meals helped to generate a new perception of this new kind of community. They thought of themselves as a family, which is why they referred to one another as brothers and sisters, a phrase which comes up 271 times in the New Testament. Of course, strictly speaking, that wasn't true. But the fiction that the brother and sister you spent time with at the weekly love feast and at their shared meals was as important to you, maybe even more important than blood relatives, spoke volumes about the importance of the group you'd now joined. You would become the younger brother or sister of Jesus, the head of the family who ruled over this community from table, font, and pulpit. The description of the Christian community as a family was also a way of talking about a strong sense of belonging, a sense of belonging so strong that it overcame the old hostilities of a deeply divided Mediterranean world. Open table fellowship with people who came from backgrounds you had been brought up to fear and despise was a powerful way of breaking down the wall that divided Jew from Gentile and every other kind of opposed group. By sharing in the deep things of Christ, you had found a reason to link up with and find new value in people who were not comfortably part of your accustomed world. The situation in which we now find ourselves is so different to that of the first generation of believers, but the need to put hospitality, care of others, a strong sense of family feeling in our church life is just as important for us as it was for them. And we have a lot to learn from the early Christians' generativity and originality in the way they ordered their life around open table fellowship and unique forms of solidarity. That is why bus trips, shared meals, and other new initiatives in social belonging in our parish life matter. Being a Christian isn't just about turning up to church on Sunday. It's helpful and important to belong to the household of faith in other ways too. There too Christ is met and known in the sister and brother for whom he died and whose life he was located in a unique way. When we break bread with them, we meet him too. Bishop Victoria's friends and that humble French chef, Babette, remind us too about the need to practice hospitality in our lives away from the church. We live in a time when people invite others around for meals less than they used to. Table fellowship and home hospitality to people who aren't our nearest and dearest is even more important than it used to be because it's less supply than formerly. The inviting warmth of hearth and home is an inviting beacon to what seems to many to be a cold and loveless world. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.